Hello and welcome to episode 2, season 5 of the Point 99 podcast. For anyone who is new or unfamiliar with the show, the Point 99 podcast is a running podcast for all runners of all abilities, but especially you guys, the listeners and everyday runners out there. If you're new to running or to the podcast, we hope to have guests, topics and discussions that might help you along whatever path your journey is taking. For any seasoned runners or listeners, hopefully we'll have some stories that will have you empathizing with our experiences and predicaments. If it's lessons we've learned during our own journeys, embarrassing stories or heartstring pulling moments, we hope you'll stick with us while we try share some good vibes, motivation and positivity. And as always, hopefully we can have a laugh along the way together. This week's episode is slightly different to your standard Point 99 episode, given that it's going to be broken into two parts. This part, we're going to call it part one, is all about this week's guest, my good friend and perhaps the nicest and most supportive man you'll meet from within the running community, Lee Campbell, better known as Control-Alt-Delete. Given that the chat I had with Lee exceeds our standard episode length and the fact that I don't want to do any injustice to this man's awesome story, I've decided to break the episode into two parts and cover the rest on an episode this Sunday. Part 2 will see the launch of the previously announced giveaway for Season 5, with the prize package now being in excess of £300. We'll also do the listener shoutouts and appreciation segment before we look at how my week in running has been, and maybe we'll look at how I'm getting on with the new Kiprun KD900 XLD from Decathlon. Yes, that nice new shiny carbon plated super shoe that comes in at a low price. Join me on Sunday for all that good stuff. But for now, I'm going to drop straight into the chat that I had earlier this week with Lee Campbell, Control-Alt-Delete, and hopefully we'll see you all again on Sunday for a much shorter part two. Remember to like, share, and tag the podcast and Lee in the stories to show your love. Until part two, stay safe, enjoy your runs, and you'll hear from me, well, now. I have with me today a man who radiates positivity and love to those he meets within the running community. He is undeniably the friendliest and smiliest guy on both the sidelines cheering you on and on the tar and trails running alongside you to give you motivation and support when you need it the most. When he's not being your biggest cheerleader, though, he's no slouch with his own running achievements. Dubbed the King of the Pentlands for regularly tackling one trail route or another in his beloved range of hills, getting lost or otherwise, or absorbing stunning scenery and experiences around the UK and Europe. But all the time he spends getting himself lost on a route he's planned doesn't go to waste, however, as he uses it the time wisely and dreams up his next community get-together quiz round like the classic dog toy or sex toy. He may have his favorite achievements tattooed on his arm for all to see, but over the next 45 minutes or so, I'm hoping we'll hear all about it from the man himself to find out what his highlights have been so far, how he stays so positive, and what he might add to the tattoo collection next. I have the pleasure of calling my friend, the man who'd hit on the Pentlands night and day if they ever morphed into a woman. He's your uncle and mine, the man of a million hilarious anecdotes and one of the nerdiest handles you'll come across on Instagram. Get ready for an instant classic as we press Control, Alt and Delete and welcome the most requested guest we've had so far to the show. The best doggo daddy who can teach you how to draw a cock and balls or two. It's the one and only Uncle Lee, Lee Campbell.
Oh, mate, I'm glad you can't see my face if you're listening to this because I'm absolutely blushing here. I don't know if it's the intro or the infamous quiz round that we had, which long lives in the memory. But thank you very much.
You're never going to leave that quiz, let that
Oh,
quiz run down.
it was classic. And I believe that might have been Guise that maybe gave you the King of the Pentlands, was it,
King
by
of the
any chance?
Pentlands and How to Draw Cocker Balls or Two.
I'm not shy at that.
Would
Although
ask.
the last time I did the Skyline, I was up with Rach, and we had mid poles, and we're basically drawing this big cock and balls in the snow, just as this couple came up walking their dogs, and I'm like trying to take pictures of it, and like, yeah, just a little bit embarrassing.
Oh, geez. I was going to ask how you're getting on, but we sat and spoke for like half an hour already. So, for anyone that wasn't part of that conversation, i.e., anyone but you or me, how are you getting on?
Life has been life's good. It's the last couple of years has been challenging in a lot of ways. We're definitely coming out the other side of it now. For those that don't know, Andrea's mum lives with us, or she did live with us, and she had a stroke a couple of years ago, and we had to make the heartbreaking decision to put her into care a few weeks ago. And today is her birthday, so we've had her out today. I am so full of sugar, and cake, and it was a good decision to make it at the right time. It's been good for her, it's been good for us, and yeah, it's now freed me up for so many different adventures and things that's to come. So, which I guess we will talk about
Yeah,
in due course.
hopefully. That was one of my notes though, because as you say, running, I know you pretty well now. We've had some pretty deep conversations over the past few years. And a lot of these achievements that I've already referred to in your tattoo, you've done through some really tough times. You must be really looking forward to having a little bit more time on your hands to kind of just take a breath and enjoy these. Not that you wouldn't have enjoyed the events in the first place, but really look forward to what's to come, knowing that Ruth has a place where she's comfortable, and you also don't have the stress and worry at home as well.
Absolutely. The many times that you're away doing an event, I remember even Glenogle 33, and the high of that whole weekend, not just the actual event, but being away for the whole weekend, but then driving back home again to reality, knowing that you're going straight back into being a full-time carer again.
Yeah.
So it's like huge highs, huge lows. And now it's far more, it's stability. So I'm back to being her son-in-law. Andrea's back to being her daughter. And it's having that kind of proper relationship back with a parent again. So, obviously, Thursday nights, it was like you would go out and you would do run club with the H3 milers, and but then you were just always just it was coming back, and it's not pressure because you would do it for anybody, it's
Yeah,
like you
yeah,
would do it
yeah.
for any of your loved ones, but it was it takes its toll,
Yeah, it's
it
always a
does
dread. It's always on the back of your mind, isn't it?
absolutely, and just sometimes, I mean, she's got mixed dementia, so there's times it should be up at 2 a.m. having a shower, and you'd have to get up and you'd have to deal with it. It was just, but in the care home, she's got such a great community in there, and they're all at various different levels of the spectrum. And even today, just sitting there, we were cutting up birthday cake, and everybody was coming round, and it was just a fantastic atmosphere in there. So it's given us peace of mind that she is now getting the care that she actually needs, because you can, and I think I would say this to anybody, it's a really tough decision to make, because you want to keep them at home as much as you can, but there comes a time, and you'll know when that time is, and there's guilt there, but you know that you've done it for the right reasons, and that's what's important.
And you tried so many different things along the route as
Oh
well
God,
to
yeah.
try and keep her at home. But
Yeah.
like we say, it's freed up a lot of your time now.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I
Before we
bet you
get
know.
to the stuff that's coming though, I know so much about how you started running, but I don't know all that much. We've never really gone that far back. I've seen all the photos of you wearing your leather jacket and when you had hair, but
I love that picture.
I was
70.
trying to find it for the
Oh,
promo.
17-year-old Lee in a bus stop in
It
Stennismuir.
looks like an
What?
album cover.
It does actually, yeah. My mate Alan. Oh, that was good times. And yeah, oh God, I missed that hair. I absolutely missed that hair. So I mean, I just need to look at my arm, I guess, and just like where do we start? So I guess like the first race I actually properly did was the Scottish 10K in September 2017, I think it was. There was a guy across the roads from me. He said, "Oh, I'm gonna go and do a 10K." And I'd done the odd 5K run and things like that, but nothing ever to any kind of degree. And I did couch to 5K to start with. I think everybody did couch to 5K, to be honest. And it kind of got me up to that level. And I would maybe go out maybe once or twice a week. And but that this gave me something to actually work towards. And so I'm at the start line with Ryan across the road, and he just flew. He just went off. I thought we're going to run it together. It's going to be a nice and sociable thing. He just went bang and off he went. He was like 55 minutes and I was over an hour or something like that. And I'm still not any faster, to be fair. It's not really my thing. As we mentioned earlier on when we were talking, I'm a back of the pack runner. I've got no desire to be like say AB and Jace and Sarah Homer, all these guys who can just run at incredible speeds. It's never going to be me. I'm quite happy at the back of the pack, just doing a nice little pootle, as I always call it. So that was the first one. And then on the back of that, got a good friend Kat who was always at me. She'd run Edinburgh half marathon. She was always at me. It's like, "Oh, you could run a half marathon." I'm like, "Nah, I've got no desire to run a half marathon." And before you know it, I'm signed up for a half marathon, and I did Edinburgh half. And I don't know, just that was it. That was the bug. That was the moment where I just thought, "I'm actually really enjoying that." And then on the back of that, I signed up. That was September 2018, and on the back of that, I then signed up for the Scottish half, which was the worst experience ever. I just fueled so badly for that, and I remember getting home after that and actually collapsed coming out of the bath after it, because I just didn't have enough salt in me. And I guess there was when I was younger, I played football, and every Sunday I would always feel exactly the same way after coming home from playing football. And it turns out that it's just a lack of salt. It's taken me, what, 30 odd years to figure it out, but it's just a lack of
You're
salt. So,
Mr. Salt Tablets now, Mr.
oh,
handing them out, looking like a dealer on the
I know,
course.
yeah, I've got my little druggie bags that I always have on my runs these days, eh? So yeah, I did a couple of them EMF halves, and I really, really enjoyed them. And then we hit lockdown. And with one first marathon I did was 2020, and that was Virtual London. And I mean, I'd like to think I'm a reasonably clever guy. I have my moments, but I can also be incredibly stupid and naive at times as well. And I realized that the London Marathon virtual was going to be on my birthday. I was like, "God, that's such a great thing to do, because we can't really do anything. We've been in lockdown. We've kind of coming out of it now, but it'd be just great to just go and do a well, let's run a marathon." I had 5 weeks to prepare for it, and the most I had been running up until that point was maybe 16K or something like that. So I put myself in a 5 week crash course to run a marathon, and oh my God, I remember running with various different people. And I got to about maybe about 16K, bumped into my good friend Sarah Bell, and she then was running the next leg with me. And I got to 24K, and I took a gel just as I got into Edinburgh City Centre. And this gel just hit my stomach. And as soon as it hit, I was just like, "I'm in bother here. This is not good." So I'm then running up Lothian Road towards the Meadows, and I just felt like death warmed up. And that was the very first time I met Sarah Homer. We obviously chatted on Instagram and things like that, and she was going to do a run around the Meadows with me as part of it. So here's me rocking up with, like, Andy was there and like all the other pals waiting for me at the Meadows. Sarah Homer's standing there, and I just rock up looking like death. And everybody's like, "Are you all right?" And I'm just like, "I've just taken a bad gel and I feel awful." So I kind of walk ran one loop of the Meadows, say goodbye to Sarah, and then kind of carried on again. And so Sarah Bell was meant to stop with me at that point, and she was like, "I can't really not continue with you. because you look absolutely dreadful. And I still had about, I was only about 27K at that point. So I've still got another 15K to go. So it didn't, she ended up running more than a half marathon. She'd never run that distance really before in her
Jeez.
life. But it was a walk run, just the worst experience. And
But
I
if you
remember,
didn't have her for that, you probably would have just thrown in the
oh,
towel.
I would have done. Yeah, she dragged me through it. And I've got a history of people dragging me over the line in marathons. We'll talk about Loch Ness shortly. And I remember bumping into Andrea. I can't remember exactly what it was. I only had about 5K to go and just burst into tears. And I'm just like, this is horrible. And she got really upset. And but I dragged myself over and I finished it. And I was like 5 hours 15. So my first marathon time. And I was just like, I am never, ever doing this again. And then 2 days later, I'm like, maybe it wasn't that bad. It's like, yeah, you kind of know at that point. And I said to Andrea, I was like, do not ever let me sign up for anything else. And she's like, right, I won't. And then obviously Loch Ness Marathon happens. And yeah, it kind of evolved from there.
Things Lee
So,
does after dark when Andrea goes to bed
oh, I
signs up
know.
for
Yeah, it's
marathons.
like I always say to people, if I ever die, please delete my browser history.
It's not because of
It's not because of that
smart.
either. It's just like all the races that I'm potentially going to sign myself up for. So yeah, that was my first one. But then I got the first proper marathon was Loch Ness. And
That
that was
was
a
the
brilliant.
first year I met you as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And that was a fantastic experience. Just even the night before, just meeting up with yourself, Muriel and Carl, having a meal, just the whole kind of vibe. Was that, did we do that? That was the first, we did.
No, I didn't meet you that year for the meal before. The first year you did Loch Ness, yous were all so, was it? I'm pretty sure I hadn't met you the night
Oh,
before.
that's, yeah, that's right. We were in Pizza Express. That's
Yous went to
right.
Pizza Express, and I
That's
hadn't
right.
met any of you up until that
Yeah,
point.
that's right.
I'd
Yeah.
given Muriel refuge in the car because it was the weather had turned
That's right.
so bad,
Yeah.
and we were waiting for yourself and Carl. And you say you enjoyed it, but nobody told your face that at the time.
No, honestly, just again, the last 5K of that was miserable. My knees were just and absolutely shredded. And I hadn't realized that, like, people talk about the Loch Ness Marathon and it's fantastic. If I was ever to do another marathon, I would consider doing that one again. It is a fantastic race. People tell you the first 10 miles is downhill. What a bag of shite that is. I'm sorry, it's not. It's undulating,
Oh yeah, it's undulating.
going down because it's spiky and you're running down, but then you jag up a bit and then you run down, you jag up a bit. And my knees hit hard on that one and I was barely walking by the end of it, but that feeling across in the finish line was pretty spectacular. And
Things
on
to
the
be
but
said when a man who doesn't train for marathons helped you across the line.
well, I mean, we all know what Carl's like. He just he could just he just has that mentality. I don't have that, but he can just grind it out. And again, like next again, you're doing Loch Ness 24 as well. Although that time I'd ran a race called the Three Meals, which is part of the Salomon weekend, 2 weeks before. And again, stupidly, and we've already talked about how bad I am for scheduling. I book a 16K trail race in Kinlochleven, thinking, oh, it'll be fine. I've got a marathon a couple of weeks later. It's only 16K. How bad can it be? And I'm knee deep in bog running through Kinlochleven, and I hit it and I twisted, and when you get that white kind of like feel that cold sweat, and instantly you know that you've done something. And I knew I'd tweaked something in my knee, so I knew that Loch Ness was never going to be good that year. And Carol, the nick that Carol was in that year was awful, and also Gies had decided to book the Turkish restaurant that
No, I
night.
booked that.
Was it you?
She asked me to do
And of course, I'm up
it.
half the night and I'm having to pop Imodium for some reason the next again morning. And I actually wouldn't have done that if I hadn't have had the Nessie that you had made for Carl to take round that blew out the
Yeah.
bubbles.
Yeah.
And because I had that, I knew I had to meet him. If I hadn't, I don't think I would have ran that year because my stomach had gone
It
completely.
wasn't alcohol either, because it was your
No.
birthday celebration. Because you'd had
Well,
the Colin the Caterpillar smushed with a Battenberg the year
we
before,
had,
wasn't it?
yes.
And
And
then they got you a special cake.
yes, indeed. And then we've been in the
Well,
Highlander till 1 a.m., I think.
that was you guys. I'd gone home.
Oh, me and Muriel are giving it I'm trying to remember the songs we were singing, but yeah, we were up giving it
Wagon wheel and all
plenty.
sorts, probably
Oh,
no news.
it was phenomenal. It was brilliant. But then, of course, get back to the hotel room, and Andy was in bed. She was already sparked out. And then, yeah, for every hour after that, I was up making my way to the toilet, and I was thinking, "Oh, this isn't good." And I've never taken Imodium in my life before, and she was like, "You're going to have to." So I popped a couple of Imodium, and thankfully, we managed. And but I remember actually because Carl was his knees had gone as well. He was in a terrible state. He should never have run that. And I passed him and Muriel at one point, and I was quite a bit ahead of them. And then my knees went at 24, 24, 25K. My knees went, and I had to was basically just walking it. And then they caught up with me, and again, the two of them just dragged me over the line. And there's a fantastic picture side by side that I think I posted on Instagram of me looking like all happy for the camera. And then I think the camera's away and my face just drops and you see the pain that I'm actually in. And Muriel just basically just saying, "You've got this, you could do this, you could do this." And I mean, they both dragged me over the line that day. And again, I'm like, yeah, I'm never doing this again. And
Think that was a
yeah.
special year for both of us, though, because having the little group, and I think
Yeah.
we spoke about that in the bonus episode. If it hadn't been for meeting you guys the year before, and then subsequently meeting along the course of the year before tackling the marathon again, so we
Yeah.
had, did we have,
We had a few Zoom calls and the quizzes where the infamous dog toy
yeah,
sex toy came out and yeah, there was a
did we know, but we had the 24 as well,
Yeah, but
did we not, just before
we
that?
had yeah Loch Ness 24 was August 2022, so we had the very first Loch Ness 24, but it was the five of us before we kind of went a bit viral with it, and the Dibbers were created, the infamous year that
Drop
I dropped the
the
Dibber. And I have talked about this in a previous podcast about it, so and I'll never be allowed to forget it. So yeah,
No, you'll never be allowed to forget that.
I still wake up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat about like what would have happened if I'd actually lost the Dipper.
You could have so easily have not told us, and we wouldn't have been any the wiser. You were too honest
I know,
to
but
tell
I think it was just when I came back and Jamie was like, "Are you okay?" And I'm just like, "White as a sheet." It's like, "Are you all right?" And I'm like, "Not really." And it all came out that I dropped it. And thankfully, this guy who was running behind me picked it up and handed it to me. Otherwise, I'd have basically blown our team's chances. I mean, they would have sorted it out, but I would have potentially have blown our team's chances. So yeah, so that was
That
well.
was only like 3 weeks before the marathon as well. So that
Yeah,
was
that
pretty
was.
hard going.
Yeah. So yeah, because I had Loch Ness 20. So yeah, I've actually got a list of the things I actually did. So yeah, did Loch Ness 24 in August, and then I think it was my wedding anniversary in September. I did the three meals,
Yeah.
the 16K, and then 2 weeks after that was the
It
Loch
was like
Ness
back to
Marathon.
back to back. It was
And I was
only
like,
like two, two, and two.
what was I thinking? It's like I'm not a young guy, so it's like, but we got there, and we ground it out, and then Loch Ness 24. Last year was something pretty special as well. So managing seven loops and getting 49K was I'd always again, Lee says he'll never run an ultra. And we got just I always class a, I don't class an ultra for me, it's not if you've ran more than a marathon. I always think 50K for me is an ultra. Everybody's got a different take on it, but for me, I don't class that as I ran an ultra. Because it was 49K.
No, you'd walked a bit distance of a kilometer as well, because the way that the 24 worked, I think I've spoken about it quite a lot over the podcast's life so far. But the way it worked in the year one, is there was only five of us, and Lee and Jamie were every time someone was coming around, you guys walked up and you walked back. And that was all day in the blazing sun. And then we stopped quite early on in the night. So 10 o'clock at night, wasn't it? Jamie did the last lap.
I think,
first.
Yeah, 10, 11 o'clock. And then we went on to the silent disco.
Yous went on to the silent disco and we watched from the side.
Yeah. But I basically raved for an hour.
You and Emma having a great old time.
And we were the only ones that were having a great old time. Everybody else was just looking at us thinking,
there was one other guy. I think he was on something though. He found some mushrooms in the woods. But then last year, I would be very surprised if you hadn't walked over a kilometer with the support that you've done again. And there's some really good photos of yourself kind of huddled in that meal tent with
me and Gary.
Gary, yeah.
It's actually Serena. I actually love that picture because Serena is beside me as well. So that was, I really, really love that picture. It's just like, big beaming smile, and Gary was freezing. And but I don't know what it is about Gary, but he just never, although he looks like he's cold, it's always shorts and t-shirt for Gary.
It doesn't
matter what the condition.
Opposites though, but you were still always smiling. But I think you easily did over 50k
I probably did, but I didn't class it as, but then it kind of gave me the confidence that it's like, well, you know what, I've done 49k. And it came round to, I think it was the start of the year, and I'd been chatting with Rach, and she was talking about Glenogle 33, and she had an event on, which meant that she wasn't going to be able to book it, and she was paranoid that she wasn't going to be able to get in to do her first ultra. I said to her, look, I've got no plans, I'll book it for you. So I booked it for her, and I'm just sitting there going, could I do this? Could I? And before you know it, I've actually booked myself in for it. And by that time, it's like, it's too late to back out.
Yeah.
And again, like, I didn't have a great lead up to that. I did, I'd done Loch Ness 24. And just due to life, and we've kind of talked about that earlier on, I wasn't able to go out and commit to doing a lot of training.
My training plan, yeah.
But by that time, I'm literally living in the Pentlands. And I've got a route called the Dinosaur that my good friend Ellie had named, because when you look at it in Strava, the elevation looks like a dinosaur. You've got the five peaks and then you've got the big long neck.
It's nothing to do with being extinct by the time you're finished.
Oh, I know. I did it last Tuesday, and I was done by the end of it. But it's about 900 meters of elevation over 16k. So it's a tasty, tasty route. It's not one that you would actually say you've ran. You're walking the ups and you're running the downs. It's Turnhouse Hill right at the start is horrible, but and so I did that. I did a skyline, and that kind of changed my whole opinion, because I don't train. I don't do training plans like you guys do. I won't commit to a 16 week plan. In all honesty, I find it boring. And I like to have the variety of, I wake up today and I think, yeah, I'm going to go and maybe just run a 5K, or I'm going to go up the Pentlands, or I'm going to go and find a trail, I'm going to do something else. I can't do this, let's go and run an interval session. I can't let's go and do a fartlek. It's just not me. I just don't enjoy it. So I honestly worried for myself for doing Glenogle 33, thinking, I don't know if I've done enough. But as it actually turned out, like, all of those hills, all that elevation that I'd actually done, and just doing that was more than enough, because I finished the 33 and I had more in me.
Yeah.
And this is, we talked about earlier on, I'm never going to be the guy who's always pushing at 100%. I don't know, I just always have this thing, but I have to hold something back. And when I crossed the finish line, I was like, I've still got more in me here. I could still have gone on for another 5-10K. Mm-hmm. But it's always the same as you know, you're approaching the finish line, your energy levels adapt to that. If I'd had another 10K, I'd have went another 10K. But as you get closer, you kind of think, oh, I'm almost there.
But you saw how that was a terrible day as well. You saw how Jace got on. And AB got on, and they're two polar opposites. They're both sexy pace marathon runners.
Aye.
Jace blew up and AB smashed it,
Yeah,
but they were just on it the whole day.
Oh, I totally. I mean, it was a shame for Jace because he just felt that twinge in his hamstring. It's one of those ones, the decisions, like, do you think it might be okay? But if it isn't, am I just going to ruin my season here?
Whereas if he'd just
So,
taken it a little bit easier though and gone for the party at the back kind of pace, the what you guys in the trails would class as a sexy pace, not so much the marathon runners.
we'll stick to Ian's zone two pace. That's
Here, Ian's got nothing on zone two. I don't know if you saw it recently. I had 98% zone two on a run.
Oh, nice. Nice. I need to reevaluate my whole zones because I will look at different people's zone twos, and my zone two would be other people's zone one, I think, because they're all
Warm
pushing
up.
up to 180s and all the rest of it. Whereas for me, because I don't push myself at that level, so my zone two is actually a lot lower. I think I hit zone three at 139, which for a lot of people is still well within zone two, but
You
because I.
adapt though. You get if you're in a training, and I don't train as effectively as a lot of people like Jason AB and Ryan. I don't follow a proper program. I'm kind of like you. I know what I need to do. I do 16 weeks of build up
Yeah.
and up and up and up, and then I take off weeks. But I do wake up in the morning and go, I fancy 6 miles today. I can't be bothered today. I'll just do 5K. And then I know that's going to trigger a lot of people doing a mixture of Ks and miles there.
It's always kilometers. You're all weirdos that are doing this whole miles thing. It's always kilometers.
See,
I
Uncle
will
Lee said it, so there's true.
It's a hill, and it's a big hill that I will die on. So it is always kilometers, which is and also because I run with the H3 milers, that absolutely triggers me.
Especially having heard from Chris in the previous episode that when everyone gets to that sub 5 kilometer mark or sub 10 kilometer mark, and he stops at like 9.8, and he watches all
Yeah.
the people run on, and he's just like, "Hey."
I'm exactly the same. It's like I did a run yesterday. I think it was, and it was 9.09 or something like that. I don't care. It's like your run is what your run is. It's like I'm not gonna run around the car park just
I've
to
been in the
finish it off
past.
again.
I'm not gonna anymore.
It's like let it go, guys. It's fine. It's like it doesn't have to be that way. So
All of those that have come before, you've got your favorites on your sleeve. You've got your London Marathon. You've got
yep.
your Loch Ness 20. Do you have both 24s or just the one?
I've just got the one. I've got
Just the one. You got the
the
first
um,
one.
yep, so I've got that there. So like on the forearm, I've got the three meals. I've got EMF and I have the Midnight Sun, which was in Tromso, which again was another fantastic experience. Jim Boyle's going to be doing that in a few weeks' time. He's going
Is
over to
he
Tromso to do that.
ace? Is he doing the full marathon or is he doing the half?
He's doing the full, I think.
Wow.
And I have considered going back and doing the there's a polar version of it in January, and I have considered going over and doing this. It's the same route, doing the half marathon and just getting the polar one as well, because obviously it's complete nighttime, so no daylight, the complete opposite. But start on the start line at 10 p.m. and it's effectively how it would be at like 8 o'clock at night here, and then you're just running. And everybody's out and everybody's drunk because it's 10 o'clock at night in Tromso. So they're all smashed. They're all out with their music playing, drinking in the streets, cheering you on. It's like, honestly, what a vibe. It was just the most insane atmosphere. And it's probably the first race that I've actually smiled all the way through and just enjoyed it for what it actually was. And I absolutely loved everything about it.
It was an ace set of photos you had. And of course, having Andrea with you as well. It was just you and Andrea.
It was just the two of us. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I feel for the girl because I mean, she really is a running widow, and she puts up with a lot with the shit that I get up to. But she's very, very supportive, and it was lovely actually. She got really into it because we went up for the start of the marathon, starting at 8 o'clock, and she got really into the vibe of it. And it was just lovely seeing her a couple of places in the course as well. And she was there at the finish line for me finishing, so it was a really, really special weekend, and one that I thoroughly enjoyed. And I guess it's I got Henry then started looking at things as more experiences, like let's find events where It's just a little bit different, a little bit quirky. Some, and I've been looking at potentially doing. There's a Greenland marathon, and you're doing it on the polar sheet. And I'm just like, man, what an experience that would be, and just little things like that. So I'm always on the lookout for just something a little bit different to try, rather than just saying, oh, let's do a half marathon here. It was
Just do
meant
it
to
for the
be,
sake of a medal. You do it for the sake
exactly.
of a memory, an experience.
Exactly. And I was meant to do the Col half marathon in the islands a couple of years ago, and unfortunately lockdown happened, didn't do that. I was meant to be doing Tyree at the weekend, and unfortunately I wasn't able to do that one. It's just due to circumstances. So I've still got it. I've got an island half marathon to get at some point. So it will come at some point. But yeah, and I guess as well, like most, as I said before, like most of my time is spent on the hills these days, and I want to expand that a little bit more as well. And I kind of want to go and run a few different places. But you kind of slagged me about my navigational skills, quite rightly. Because let's be honest about it, when me and Sarah Homer get together, it's like, who knows
The
where we're going to
blind
end
leading
up?
the blind, yeah. It's like going
Yep.
for a run with Stevie Wonder and expecting him to tell you which way you're going.
Honestly, I mean, the amount of times that we've just been in a situation where it's starting to get dark and we've got no idea where we are, and you're like, I think it's maybe this way, but we always manage, we always find our way back.
Mean, given the fact that the day of Sarah Homer's episode, she'd gone for a walk just before the episode and got lost in her own street.
Yeah, there's no surprise there. But I'm in a thankful situation now because of the Thursday night trail runs, where I actually know the Prentlands pretty well. You can drop me anywhere in there, and I'm kind of going to know where to get back from. But
Letting you lead some group, lead people into the hills. I mean, they must trust you now.
well, we're really fortunate we've got Ali Edie there as well, and she's the responsible one of the group. So and I still can't believe that Chris actually trusted us to lead some people into the hills on a Thursday night. But
I know Chris well enough now as well.
that's been, again, that's been a life-changing experience. Just that whole being able to take people who have never been on a trail run before and take them up the Pentlands on a Thursday night, and just watching the transition from being road runners to being trail runners, and just the joy in their faces when you're actually up in the hills, and all of a sudden you're standing at the top of Allermuir, and you've got the entire Pentlands in front of you, you've got Edinburgh in the background, and just seeing people going, wow, like this is why you do this. And I'm like, this is exactly why we do this. And you're not looking at your watch, you're thinking, have I got enough snacks? It's a completely different vibe, which is why, I mean, I do still run on roads. I mean, I can't always just run in trail, and you still need to have the aerobic workout as well, which you don't get as much on the trail. So I still do the odds once a week of running the roads. But that whole experience of being up there on a Thursday night, and the fact that we kept it going all the way through the winter when we're up, head torches on, it just
In the
liberating
snow as well,
in
like
the
you say,
snow,
drawing a cock in the snow.
trying to cock and balls in the snow. It's just, yeah, it's. And yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of people to be thankful for, because I was one of the reasons I do this is because I was that guy who was like, I'd love to go and do that, but I didn't know anybody really who could take me up the Pentlands. And I think the first time I went up there was with Sarah Bell, and we did a 14K loop, and it was amazing. And then I got involved with the Trail Pursuit guys, and Alex Long used to take us for runs up there, and I learned a couple of routes. But it wasn't until I did the Skyline in February last year that everything changed for me. I was like, that's it, this is me, this is just what I want to do. And
You wanted to be taking up the
I wanted to be taken up the Pentlands,
Pentlands.
not a euphemism. So and yeah, and we've taken some of the, like, even just taking people, like I've taken Nick and Kayleigh. We went up and we did a trail run up there, and just seeing them changing, and
Heather's
then
walkout
Rachel,
as well.
yeah, and Rachel became absolutely obsessed. Like, we did a couple of trail runs, and then you obviously can see where she's going with that now. I mean, the Highland Fling last weekend, 2 weekends ago, was just something else. It was just, I think one of my, I love cheer squad just as much as I love running.
Did that, how did that start though? Because How did you get going with EH3 to begin with initially? And then where did the love of cheer squatting come from?
So EH3 started because I knew Chris from doing a couple of runs, and I'd seen him at a few different events, like 20 across the fourth and other bits and bobs. I'd always been out, like, "Oh, you need to come along EH3," and I was like, "Yeah." And on Wednesday night, I generally used to go running with Sarah Bell. We would go do loops of Holyrood Park just to get the elevation in, and it was, I think it was like back in November 2022, she had said, "Look, why don't we just pop along to EH3, and we'll just see what it's like. And if we don't like it, then
You don't have to go back.
don't have to go back." And EH3 is a special community because they don't take it too seriously. They would see themselves, they're almost like a social club where you go for a 5K and you're gonna have a couple of pints, and you all mix together in the bar, and everybody just from day one just welcomes you in. It's a very, very exclusive community, sorry, exclusive, inclusive community. And Chris and Christine do a fantastic job in keeping that. And so we go along there on a Wednesday night, and but this time I was getting more into the trails. And I mentioned to him, I've been speaking with Ali Eady as well about, like, could we do an offshoot of this and maybe start to do a Pentlands Run Club? And that's where it then came from. And in June 2023 was the first time that we did that. But the cheer squad kind of came about with EMF last year. Remember, just there was me, Rach, and then all the guys that had done the half all came and joined us, and we're just cheering everybody on with our banners and our cowbells, and it just felt amazing just seeing people do things. And I had a sign that says "Go random stranger," and this guy would come up to me and goes, "I'm a random stranger." I went, "Well, go." And off he went. He had the biggest smile on his face, and I'm like, I'm high on this. I'm just loving the fact that, like, this guy's got a boost from doing that, and you're seeing other people laughing at our signs and just getting that push. And then you tie it back into how you feel when you're on the other side of it and you're passing somebody and they're cheering you on, they're saying your name because it's on your bib, and the feeling that you get from that. And I'm just like, this is just as good for me as running. Honestly, I'm just getting so much out of this. And that's where it really came from. And then I started doing a little bit of volunteering at park run and started to really enjoy that. And the reason I volunteered at the Fling was actually because Nikki Sheridan had said that she was going to volunteer. And I was always going to go up because I wanted to see Rach finish
Support
in chunks.
generally, yeah.
Exactly. And I knew that Davey was going to be doing it, Kaylee was going to be doing it, and then Jimmy Gow. There's going to be a lot of the guys we're going to be there. So I was like, right, okay. And Nikki said, "Oh, I'm going to volunteer." And I was like, "Well, if I'm going to go up and do cheer squad, then I may as well volunteer." And so I was very, very fortunate that I was actually at one of the checkpoints at Bean Glass, and that was 40 miles in. And I always remember, I think the first one that came through was Jimmy, and I promised him a big hug. So comes through, and I've got his drop bag for him, hand it to him, give him a big hug. Got to spend a bit of time with him, send him on his way. And just that feeling of, like, seeing his smile as he left, and then everybody else started passing through. And then Rach and John Cassidy came up, and just giving the two of them a big hug. And it was just the most incredible feeling of seeing people that you know doing incredible things. And once I'd done my stint, I'd agreed with the guys that I wanted to leave a little bit early because I wanted to be at the finish line. The big thing was I wanted to be right at the finish line for seeing Rachel finish. And Nikki was handing out medals when we got back there. So I just kind of did a little bit of, not PR, but people were coming up saying, "Oh, I'm looking for my luggage." So I would just go off and do little chores and just kind of help out. And well, Nikki was handing out the medals, and I didn't get to see Mike, and I didn't get to see Jimmy because unfortunately they're too fast. Be back of the pack. Back of the pack is where it's at. If you're going to run fast, then I'm not going to see you at the finish line. But I got to see Kaylee finish. I got to see Davey finish. And but honestly, when Rachel, I can feel myself welling up even just thinking about it. When she came through that finish line, I was biting my lip. I was just like, "Ooh!" You feel it, just the emotion, like seeing her. And then John Cassidy came down. I'm just like, my God, Yous have done it. Yous have just ran 53 miles, and I felt like I'd been a part of their day as well at the same time. And it was just that feeling that you actually get from seeing people do really, really tough things, and it's just an amazing feeling.
You talk about doing really tough things as well. You were pivotal to how well Rachel did at the 24 as well, because she had initially been signed up to be part of the individual teams, but then she really took a big step to sign up solo. And a few people did do that, but I don't think anyone ultimately did it as well as Rach then. But you were pivotal to her to handle her necessities throughout that course of that run.
There was a few interesting texts where it was like, any chance you could put some Pseudocream in a bag for me? And she would just text me with, and we kind of agreed, it's like, you don't need to put the niceties, you don't need to put the please and the thank yous in there, just tell me what you want and we'll get it together. But I mean, there were so many people were involved in that as well, keeping her on the course. And again, like you saw her knocking out
But
100K.
even with everyone, nobody more so than yourself. But you weren't just supporting Rachel, you were supporting everyone. And you suffered my wrath. And as Andy said, did you bite back? And you didn't. You took a shouting from me, which I felt terrible for,
Oh,
because you are the nicest guy.
I still feel bad about that as well, because I picked up, I have history for picking for dibbers, and I picked up the wrong dibber. I thought it was another team's one
No, no,
because it was
no.
yellow, and I gave it to Gaze when we went out for a walk, and unfortunately it was your one, and you and Lorna wanted to go out as well. And no, you know what? It's like we'd all been up all night. People were tired. People had goals, and that was the thing. It's like everybody had their goal that weekend that they wanted to achieve, and thankfully, it all kind of worked out in the end. So there was no need for an apology at the end of it. But
On the global scheme, though, from what you've said on the cheer front, it kind of all, I would say, stems from taking that big leap to put faith in what none of us knew was going to become a successful event of the 24, the original gang, to then also step out of your comfort zone and go to the EH3 to sign up for year two of the 24, and the scattergun of different personalities and walks of life that we brought together. And that kind of all snowballed, because you were pivotal again for the marathon, for people like, I would say more for Elodie, because I was just there to help her to have a bit of fun and apparently use every fucking port-a-loo on the course. But I actually do remember, I was looking out for you, looking out for you. I couldn't see you. And here's you all lined up, and give you the biggest hug. Absolutely stinking by this point. Not even halfway, I don't think.
It's like I had this the sign which said, I think it was like, pain is French for bread. And it had Go Elodie under it. But it turns out that lots of French people ran Edinburgh Marathon that year. So I had all these French people coming up and like speaking French to me. And I'm like, mate, I don't speak French. It's like I've just got a sign from a pal.
Did someone not at the when you swap sides at the end get your photo and your name for some French website as well?
Exactly. She's like, I've got a French blog. Can I take your picture and name and use your name? I was just like, absolutely, because you can I kind of got and I've not, I don't know what blog or what website is, but there will be a picture of me with this banner with this
Season.
random French person. But yeah, it was again that was a fantastic game weekend. We're going to do it again at the end of
Not so many
the end
weeks
of
away
May.
now.
So
Yeah,
it's only a couple of weeks away.
only a
So
couple of weeks away.
again, a lot of people are doing the are going to be doing the half marathon. I don't know so many that are doing the full. There's a few from the EH3 milers are going to be doing the full.
Mostly halves this time, I
I
think.
think it is mainly halves, but we'll still be out for the day, cheering everybody on. So I think Kaylee said to me actually that she loved the fact that she had such support from, and not just from me, just from everybody when she did the fling, that she wants to give something back. So she wants to come in and do cheer squad. So I'm going to meet up with her, and we'll probably stand with the H3 milers who are also, we're going to have a bit of a cheer squad together, and we're on Edinburgh, I'll be there as well. So As soon as you come in at the Musselburgh part, we'll be cheering on all the half marathoners. Then we'll flip over to the other side as we did the last time, and we'll catch everybody coming home again. So yeah, I've got cheer squad kicking in for that. So cowbells at the ready. So which will be great. I mean, it's just such a great experience if you get the day for it, especially.
Moreover, though, you've also signed yourself up for like a whole heap of different
Oh.
support roles, but also other events. So before we get to the other events, what's coming, you are, for your sins, also a friend of Carl's.
I am.
Amazing guy, but he's a character.
He is.
So he's already been on and he's spoken about his headway. So you're going to be doing, hopefully, a little bit of support there. Moreover, as well, you went down to the National Running Show to show your support for him, and you didn't even get to see his talk.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You're the biggest supporter of everyone, but you were supporting other people's alcohol favor
Oh
there at
my
that one.
God.
So.
Yeah. So yeah, me and Sarah Homer ended up drinking till 5 a.m. and
National drinking show, more like.
National drinking show. And so the plan was to get up to see Carl do his talk, and then Muriel was doing her CPR. So it was to go and see Muriel do that. And I went to bed 5 a.m. and I'm a terrible sleeper. I have been since I was a kid, and I'll get sometimes 3 to 4 hours is all I'm going to get, and I can do that over a real sustained period of time. And for whatever reason, 7 a.m. is my bing, we're awake. Doesn't matter when I've went to bed. So here's me lying in bed at 7 a.m. having had 2 hours sleep, thinking, looking at my Garmin and going, my heart rate's currently 105. And I've been sleeping. And this isn't great. So I'm texting Sarah and I'm texting Sam and I'm like, "Bet you all right? Are we going to get up? We need to go and get ready." And no reply. I actually eventually went to their hotel rooms a bit, knocking on their doors. So we get up and we get out and we see Muriel. But unfortunately, I miss Carol. And I still, Carol, I'm so sorry. I still feel really, really bad about it.
Carly doesn't. He said beforehand he doesn't feel bad about it.
Yeah, I do feel bad about it. So yeah, and I said to Carl that I'm going to help him with the Dewes Headway. So I think the plan is that I'll do the start part of it. Originally, again, I really should know better because I should look at my calendar. I'm just straight in there saying, "Yep, I'm going to do that," and then I book in for a race. And so yeah, scheduling clash. So I'm going to go to on the Wednesday, I think, when he starts. He's going to start off at Barra. So I'll do Barra into South Uist and Benbecula with him. But I'm going to have to then leave on the Friday and travel back over to the mainland because I'm going to be doing Glenmore 24.
24. Sorry, I'm just sneaking this up on the camera because you need to get yourself this app. This is time. This is how about you can put it in when you sign up for a race, you can put it in your calendar and it'll do a little countdown like iPhone is going to do.
The thing is, because of the way that, like, over the last couple of years, like, me and Andy have not been able to go out separately because of Ruth, because we've been looking after her. So everything's in my Google Calendar. Everything that Andrea's
It
doing,
pings you like 12 hours
I
beforehand.
know, and I get automatic reminders as well. And so everything that Andy's doing, everything that I'm doing, all goes in there. But for some reason, I hadn't put Glenmore 24 in. And so when Carol was talking about doing the support of, so actually no, that's a lie. I hadn't put Carol doing the Heb in. So when I looked at Glenmore, because I thought I knew I couldn't do Loch Ness 24 this year. I as I've said earlier, I take the piss a lot when it comes to running. And Andy had booked in her birthday's in the middle of August, and she said, "Look, I'd like to take a couple of weeks off, round about my holiday time," and it falls right in the middle of Loch Ness 24. And I was not going to turn around and go, "Well, you know what? I've got a race. Kind of like wanting to do, let's not do your that." I just wasn't going to do it because she does put up with a lot. So I hadn't committed to that. And then Rachel signed up for Glenmore 24, and I was like, "Ooh." And she went, "Oh, there's a 12-hour version of that." I went, "Now you're talking." So I thought, I'll sign up for the 12-hour version. And because I hadn't put Carol's Heb challenge in there, it ended up like, shit, what am I going to do? So I've worked it out that I can do both. I need Carl to confirm exactly what his dates are and what he's going to be doing, and that will take preference over Glenmore. Absolutely, 100% will take preference over that. Hopefully, I'll
And
make
that
them
just goes to
both
show
work.
again how nice a guy you are, because any of the rest of us that are metal chasers would go, "Sorry, Carl, messed up. You're doing an event. Off you
No,
fuck." Yeah,
I've let the guy down once already at the National Running Show. I'm not going to let him down with the Hebridean Way. So I will definitely be there 100% to support him with that. And hopefully Muriel will be there as well. And I mean, Carl's a great guy. He knows a lot of people, so I'm quite sure there'll be a lot of people will take over certain slots. So if I can do a couple of days with him, I'll be really,
can
really
hop on the
happy.
boat and get yourself
Hopefully
over.
get myself across for Glenmore and do the 12-hour for that. Because my plan is to try and get, I've done the 33, which was 33 miles, which was 50, I think it was 53, 54K. So I've done that. My plan is now to then take the next step up and start to get into the 60K, 70K kind of regions of ultras. And Glenmore's a nice, safe environment when you're doing loops, where you can do that very much like Loch Ness's as well, where you can take a little bit of a breakout, or you can just try and push it for that time. So my plan
Yeah.
is to try and run a loop, a bit like a backyard ultra, a loop every hour, and try and get to 70K, just to like over 10 hours get to that point. We'll see how it goes. And again, if I get to do that, then I get to take the next step, which will be in March 2025, because I've signed up for Rasselbok Backyard Ultra. And yeah, so the plan is to then just see how I get on with that. And if I
It's a
tick
whole
that box,
different ball game though, because you're used to cheer squads, but then more than likely the What the Fartlek crew will also be at WrestleBox. They usually are, and you'll have just a whole different field of support that you maybe haven't seen before.
Yeah, exactly. And I know that Jess Kenyon, she's going to be doing it. Rachel Stone's going to be doing it. So there's going to be people down there that I'm going to know, which is going to be really good. And after seeing Kayla's experience of it last year, it just felt, yeah, you know what? I want to give this a try. I want to, again, safe environment, run 7K on the hour every hour. And I remember actually, like back in 2020, again, when we were kind of going through the whole like COVID stuff, I did the challenge and where you run a mile every hour on the hour for 24 hours. And most people do it in June, I think it is, so they get more daylight. The idiot that I am, I did it in November where it was
Nutter that
cold.
you
And
are.
but actually, it was quite poignant at that point because the reason I actually did that challenge was it was the anniversary of my dad's passing. So it was, I had originally had 10 events lined up to get 10 medals for the 10 years that he had passed. And that was the whole plan, was to do that. It didn't kind of work out that way because obviously COVID hit and we couldn't do it. But yeah, I've had that experience of being able to run on the hour every hour, but only a mile. This has taken it to like a different degree where you're now going up to like to 7K, like 4 miles. So
Yeah.
that's a different ball game.
It is. Yeah.
So, but I'm looking forward to it. And after, if I tick that box and that's done, that leads me on to the big one. And so the main plan for that, this is all moving towards is to run the UTMB route. Not the race, because I'm never going to be able to get into that. But the plan is that in June, July 2025, me and Sarah Homer are going to run over 4 or 5 days. We're going to run the UTMB route. And but I feel like I need to tick all of these boxes to get to that point, if you like.
Yeah.
And if I, it's almost like if I pass that test, I get to do the next one. If I pass that test, I get to do the next one. So
You're
I've got it all
actually
in my
using a
head.
commonsensical approach instead of doing what so many ultra runners that we had on last season are. I quite like the look of that, where that is, or I like the look of that route. I'll just sign up for it, and then inevitably someone blows up. But you're using common sense, which is not normally a thing that runners have.
It's not usually something that I would do, to be fair. I'm not really known for my common sense approach, to be fair. I am very impulsive, and when I see people, I am a bit like a dog chasing cars sometimes, and that's why I signed up for Glenogle, because I started to see Rachel was doing it, and then Kaylee signed up to it, and there was like so many other people, and I'm like, oh yeah, I need to be in as part of this. And this is where the Dibbers that influence, we had that whole Halo chat and people were putting in events and they just all started to mushroom. People were saying, oh, I quite fancy that. And it's not so much a case of the FOMO and feeling like you're going to miss out. It is just that being part of something as well. And again, Cheer Squad, it's like you're part of something. I really like that inclusiveness of the community. And whether I'm going to run it myself or I'm just going to stand on the sidelines and watch other people doing it, to me, there's no difference. It's the same buzz that you get from it, except for when you're on the sidelines, you don't have the pain and the everything else that goes with it. I can stand there
You
with a
don't
nice
have
cup
the
of coffee.
recovery for a week or two after.
Absolutely. So there is that side of it as well, but you still get that buzz that actually comes out of it. And for me, there's no better feeling. It's an incredible thing. So yeah.
So do you think now, with the build up towards the biggie next year, that you are a convert to the longer, slower days?
Yeah.
You're done with marathons.
Oh, absolutely.
Potentially a Trump so again, but that's more of
Yeah.
an experience rather
Yeah.
than for
Yeah.
the event, and it would just be take as long as it takes just to be in the moment.
There is still a bit of an itch there. So, I mean, my marathon time's 5:06, which I got the last time I ran Loch Ness. There's still that itch that I know I can go sub. I know I can go sub five.
Oh,
And
you definitely can go so fast. You've just had a series of unfortunate occurrences because of bad planning.
yeah, because I'm stupid. And I still have that. And there was a bit of that, even when it came to we did the half marathon there at Inverness like a month or so ago. And originally I was meant to be pacing Elodie that day. And we got separated going into the pens, and it just didn't happen. So I ended up walking with Guise to the start line, and Cyril Homer was chatting with Ian Glendinning at the time. And Ian kind of went off, and Sarah went, how you feeling? And I was just like, I feel really good. She went, you're going to go for it? And I was like, I think I might. And Giz was like, you think so? And I was like, you know what, let's just see what happens. I'm going to go out and I'm going to have fun. I'm going to enjoy it, because there's something special about Inverness for me, whether it's Loch Ness 24, Loch Ness Marathon. I've done the half before. For me, there's just Inverness feels very homely to me. It's almost like a second home, and I really enjoy the fact that I get to come up and see you and Lorna. And it's just a special place for me. I don't know why, but I just feel very at home there. And I remember sorry, Gaze had said to me, she goes, well, I'll run with you to start with, and then I'll just drop back. And I hit that pace, and I was just like, oh, this feels good. And then Gaze kind of held back, and then I just kind of got in a rhythm. And this guy was obviously pacing a girl, and she was getting all the cheers from the crowd. And I was just sitting comfortably behind her, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that they're on for a sub two here. And my I've actually ran sub two previously by 10 seconds at home, but I'd never done it in a race. It was 2:06 when I did the Lochleven half. And I thought, I think he's pacing her for a sub two. I'm just going to just sit behind him and just see how it goes. Turns out it was your brother,
Right there was my brother.
which is mental, the fact that it actually was. And she, like the person he was pacing, then she kind of dropped back. And I
He
just kept on.
continues, doesn't he? He's
Oh,
metronomic.
he,
If
nah,
he
he just
says,
kept, nah, he kept on going.
if he signs up for something to pace for someone, and he's done it for me, he will say, "What's your time you want to do?" He is
Yeah.
metronomic at doing that up to a point. He can't pace me anymore.
Yeah.
But he would have said to himself, said to that, I can't even remember the girl's name now,
I
"I
can't remember
will
either.
stick on that pace. It's up to you to stay with me." But benefited you.
Certainly did. And I remember just kind of like looking at my average time, and I knew that I had to be a 5:41 or below to get the sub two. And I kept on watching it go down to like, it was like 5:35, 5:34, 5:33, 5:32, 5:31. I'm like, and I kept on thinking to myself, I'm banking time here. And But then I just kept on going, and I just kept on feeling comfortable. And I remember we came into Inverness, we crossed over the bridge, and we were coming back down. And there was a guy to my left-hand side, and he was a young lad. He was blowing a little bit. I just turned to him and was like, I had this big, massive smile on my face. I'm like, we've got this, mate. It's like, I'm done. I'm going to start like falling back a bit. But mate, you've got more in you. You've got a K to go. Just go and smash it. And off he went. And then this girl said to me, she just shouts to me. She's running behind me, and I've seen her in all of my half marathon pictures, and she's did every single one. She goes, "You've paced me for this entire run," and I'm just like, "I've paced you." It's like I'm always the one that's been paced by other people. I've never paced anybody in my life, and oh my God, what a buzz that gave me! And then she, like I said, "Look, you're faster than me. Go and just push on, just go for it." And she went on past me. But that feeling, I saw you just as I came in at
Yeah, you were
the
absolutely
track.
cheesing before the
And I was
track,
just
yeah.
so happy looking at my watch, thinking I've done it. And then to go 156 was way beyond I ever thought. For somebody that was going out for a casual pootle with Elodie aiming for 215, to actually come in at 156, having Sarah Homer screaming at me. I love that video actually. She's actually screaming at me as we're going past. And I've seen Andy as with Hannah at the finish line, and
Yeah.
just everything about that whole trip. And again, I've put this on my Instagram. It's like very much tongue in cheek, how to get a half marathon PB. Me and Rachel had been doing this, had done the Skyline the week before, pissing about and doing 28K up 2,000 meters elevation up the Pentlands. That whole weekend, we were supporting the guys doing the John Muir Ultra. At various different spots, me and Rachel had been cheering people on, and Jace was doing that, and it was Nikki's first ultra, cheering them on. We were having a chippy on the Saturday afternoon in North Berwick. I'm sitting there with, and you know how much I love
Yeah.
anything goes in bread.
I
I'm
was going
sitting
to
there
say
with,
that a pie in a pie in
I
a
know.
roll.
Well, I had a chip butty, and but then I've been standing all day. I get home, I have a pie roll for my dinner, and go to bed, and then I drive all the way up to Inverness and get a 156. I had no right, absolutely zero right that day.
You were obviously comfortable, and that's the main thing. You can run every plan you want, as long as you're comfortable and you've done your pre-workout, you've run up a hill, you're feeling in good comfortable form. Doesn't matter what you eat. I don't think it really does at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's like I think my stomach is so attuned to basically eating anything deep fried or air fried and bread, then yeah, pretty much it just takes it. I had this conversation with Andy recently about like fueling, and she goes, "How can you eat that before a race?" And I'm like, "Because my body's used to it, and it's carbs on carbs. So for whatever reason, my body just reacts really, really well to it." So yeah, a pie roll is now a staple meal for me before a big event. So long may it continue.
So that being said, because you've talked about what's coming next as what's already booked and you're working your way up to it gradually, should the opportunity arise to do a marathon in a location that you're comfortable with? I'm not saying Loch Ness again, because you've done that twice. You've been on that ride. You know exactly what to expect. If there was an opportunity to run at another location and try get a sub five, you might sign up for it.
I think I would. It definitely is. There is that itch still kind of sitting there. And there's not many things that I feel like, yeah, I really want to do.
You're not driven by pace and time like I am. So,
No,
yeah.
absolutely not. But there's still that I know that I'm better than my marathon time. And there's still a bit of that I'm trying to prove, I guess, to myself more than anything else. Because I'm not, comp I the one thing I never do is I never compare myself to anyone else, because I'm never going to be as fast as Sarah is. I'm never going to be as fast as you are. It's just I just don't have it in me. I'm quite happy being at the back of the pack and just plodding my way along. I still know I'm better than 5:06.
For a
So
70-year-old man, though, you're doing pretty
I
well.
think I'm doing not bad for 70, to be fair. Honestly, that birthday cake. For those that don't know, Carl got me a birthday cake just before we ran Loch Ness 24 that had 70 on it.
It wasn't just that. The balloon said 60, the
The
cake
balloon
said
said
70. The
60.
location had a fit thinking, We were told it was a 50th. Yeah, there was a little bit of a panic there for. So, I mean, at this point, I'm going to say if you can find a location at a time that suits you, I am happy to commit to try and help you get a sub five, like I did for Elodie. I might even promise not to let you throw up at the end of it.
Yeah, the poor Elodie at the end of that vomiting. But it showed that she put the effort in. She
Had,
really,
yeah.
I mean, that shows there was nothing left in the girl at the end of it.
Literally.
Exactly, yeah. But now, which I think is fantastic, you now see her going out doing marathons and she's breezing them. I mean, from that experience, and again, Nicky Sheridan's another one where you see how bad she was.
The
She'd a
same
really she's a really
marathon.
bad EMF, same one, and now she's going out quite happily knocking out ultras. The change that people, the evolution that they go through, not every, and this is again something I always say, not every day is going to be your day. You can do all the prep, but if it's not your day, it's not your day, and don't get hung up over it.
No.
There's always another day. And you see Elodie doing Kildare. She's done London. Nikki's done. She's got another ultra coming up as well
She does.
shortly. She's got the Devil of the Highland coming up, and I'm going to do a couple of recce runs with her soon, which will be good fun seeing a bit of the West Highland way as well. And just seeing people doing like really, really hard things, and yeah,
It's
it's
mindset,
amazing.
though.
It
These
is
people are,
mindset.
and the same for yourself, it's mindset. If you can have a good event with the experience that goes all around it, the support crew, the people like yourself that help raise them up, that will pay dividends in the long run. It will give them the confidence to say, you know what, I've done it once. I don't They can have people around them, or they can turn up at an event and go, I don't actually need anyone now. I know I've got the self-belief. I've done it once. I've had other people help me get to this point. So no, honestly, you find a date, you find a location that doesn't clash. It doesn't, it, no, no 5 weeks before the Glenmore 24 or something like that. You find a location at a time that suits you in the next how many years that you're comfortable to do it, and I will help you.
I mean, I there's still part of me that would like to give Loch Ness another crack. I mean, this year I've done the 5K, I've done the marathon, I'm signed up for the
You're the
10K
10,
this
so
year.
you can get the
I want
trail.
the I want I want the I want the three I want the three medals, if you like. So it was really cool actually when we were all standing there at the end of the marathon last year. You had your 10, I had my five, and Muriel had her full. It was just really nice to see the three medals together. So I'm like, yeah, I'd like to get the 10K. So I'm not changing my plan with that. I am sticking with it.
There's a really
And
shit Captain Planet, the three of us.
you're not wrong,
No.
but it was like, but I love that picture as well. It was just, but again, it's just I feel comfortable up there, so I think Loch Ness might be another one that I may commit back to.
Well, at the end of the day, you were the person that helped me. Your immortal words of commit to the hills, because you'd done it the year before, you knew exactly what to expect. I was on that start line, wearing the kilt, trying to indecisive as, am I going to commit to it, or am I going to have a good time with you guys? And it was your final words of, if you're going to go, commit to the hills.
Yeah,
And it switched in me, and I'm like, you know, fuck it, I'm off, I'm going for it.
it makes all the difference with Loch Ness. With that level of elevation, if you hold back when you're going downhill, you just knacker your knees. You're good as soon as you come to the 30K mark and you've got
The
those two
flat
hills.
section, yeah. Doors,
It's
the
just
door sills,
horrible. It's
yeah.
just horrible going up there if your knees have already gone at that point. And it was the downhills. It's when I got to the bottom of that second hill, I just thought, oh, that's the hard part done. And I started to run, and I was just like, oh, my knees have gone. And you're 37K at that point. You're like, this isn't fun. You got 5K to kind of like hobble your way through. So I'd like to give it another pop at some point. I mean, as much as I see people doing London, for me, I can't think of anything worse. It's too people-y. It's just there's just too many people around, and I don't need everybody in national TV to see my pain. So I'm quite
I
happy.
do. I need them to see my pain and tears.
I just don't need that. I'm the only one of the majors that I would consider would be Berlin, and I will always apply for
Yeah,
Berlin.
you applied for that, yeah.
I'll apply for it, and I'm never going to get in, but maybe
Never
one
say
day.
never.
Never, you never
Never say
know. But I
never.
love Berlin as a city. It's one of my favorites. And to run round that would be something else. There's reasonably flat, unfortunately. It could do with a couple of hills thrown in there, I would say. But no, that's definitely, yeah. I'll hold you to that, Steve.
Yeah, hold me to it. And you can even hold me to, I'm going to double check the calendar here, but because of the location of the Glenmore 24, if you can make your calendar work with Carl, it's an hour away from me at most.
Yeah.
I'll come down, I'll spend the day, I'll crew for you for the 12 hours. I'll take the camera down. I'll do a whole heap of photos for all the runners, and I won't even ask for a coffee.
There you go. Oh, I like Michael. It does the whole the Run Club Cafe. The guy's an absolute legend. He was every race that you go to, he's there and he's taking pictures in the most god awful weather. And it's but he's always at the top of some hill that you've just blown your arse out of,
Yeah.
capturing you your absolute worst. I did feel the burns then in Selkirk in January. And there's this hill which is vertical. I mean, it's insane. Just get to the top of it. And there he is, right at the top, just as you're blowing out your arse, taking your picture. I'm just like, oh my God. That was we got a haggis pie at the end of that. And unfortunately there was no rolls,
Oh.
but the haggis pie at the end was still pretty legendary. And actually I'll take that over a medal. I
Yeah.
know a lot of people are very much, oh, I've got to have a medal at the end of it. And even at the end of Inverness, there was no medals this time. But we improvised. Me and Gies and you, everybody got their cock and you got it there. Everybody got their cock and balls medal.
Double medals, triple medals.
The hilarious thing about that was Nick walking about with this cock and balls medal on, and there's kids walking about. I'm like, Nick, go and just turn that around a little bit so the kids don't see you walking about going, "What's that,
Your dad's got one, but small.
mummy?"
Right, we could be talking all
Oh, we
night
could.
long.
We could.
So let's draw a line under it just now. And I think anyone that's ridden the roller coaster to this point will probably, and I would hope, agree with the introduction there. You are the nicest, friendliest, smiliest guy on both the course and at the sidelines, cheering everyone on. So
I
you
get,
can
listen,
hold me to it.
I get so much love from the community, and I like to give something back if I can. But I mean, there's so many people out there that I am massively inspired by. And yeah, it's just I always think of like John Cassaday, for example. It does the he does the Young Hearts Run Free podcast. It's like he's like an absolute legend in my eyes. It's like you see what he gives to the community. I see what you're doing for the community. Like there's so many people out there that are doing so much out there for so many different people. And it's just like I just feel like I take a lot, and I just want to give something back at the same time.
There we go. We'll end on a high note there.
Oh, bless you.
Thank you very much for joining me, Lee. I did get a few messages beforehand to say he's finally caved to the pressure.
I always
That
said I wouldn't, but
you always said you wouldn't. Chris Evans, certainly, he was chuffed that he came on. I said, you can call me the hydraulic press, for giving you, putting you under pressure. And he says, I'll call you the jackhammer. So I'm like, you shouldn't be talking to Joe on the QT. And this is what happens, folks, when me and Lee get together. It's
yeah,
innuendos, and you can see where
absolutely.
dog toy, sex toy really comes
Oh
from.
man. It was the worst of it was the fact that Gaze was just like, "Do you actually have sex toys?" I was like, "I'm absolutely
Right, that's it. That's it. We're
not."
drawing a line here. We're going to leave that where
No.
he does. Right. Thank you very much, Lee. And enjoy the rest of your evening. Not that there's much left of it. And look forward to seeing how you get on with all your events.
Been a pleasure, mate. Thank you so much.